January the 9th at 6 o'clock. Establish a quorum. Steve Martinez, present. Kim Mullinex.
Kathy Agan, present.
We have a quorum. And I would like to now invite the Boy Scouts of Troop 76 to post the colors and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Color Guard, Ken Hutt. Forward march. Would the audience please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and cross your heart?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Two. Color Guard, post your colors. Color Guard, about face. Dismissed.
Please be seated. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Troop 76 Boy Scouts and their leadership for offering to post colors and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening. Thank you very much. Are there any added agenda items?
I hope not, Mayor.
Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I need to say a possible conflict of interest with that bill to order.
Thank you very much. Reflect in the record. Only two of you. Yes.
Okay, I make a motion to approve the
consent agenda.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let the record reflect that we've approved the consent agenda. At this time, we'll take public comments. You're going to wait until the last one, though. Okay. At this time, we have on the agenda the item of Dan Varco and Don Griner in recognition of their public service. Don Griner was sworn in as a counselor on December the 9th, 2009, and served faithfully until this evening. And Dan Varco, that was 3 years and 1 month, by the way. A good long term for a counselor in this city. Wouldn't you say? And Dan Varco, elected in 2010, sworn in January the 12th, 2011, and served his complete 2 years, and is now stepping down. I wanted to make sure I got the words in here, so I've written them down. I want to go through it for you. I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of the City Council and the city staff. As Dan Varco and Don Griner step down from a very commendable period of service to the city of Lapone. They both have brought considerable outstanding leadership and passion to the council. Their dedication, commitment, and contributions to the accomplishment of this council are of the highest order and have in these past 2 years helped more to propel the city forward with significant advances towards becoming a full-functioning city than at any other time in our city's history. We owe them an immeasurable debt of gratitude, and I congratulate you for your outstanding service. For everyone's information, the city council and the city has scheduled the next regular council session, February the 13th, to formally recognize these two counselors. So mark that on your calendar and please come and attend as we formally speak to their service to the city. And I would like to ask for a hand right now to that great.
Thank you all very much. My pleasure and honor.
Speech. Item 8 is enlisting a Lapine student to participate in the city governance, and we're going to have a general discussion. I would like to start, I guess, with the idea that we have approached the high school to consider having a student on the city council as a volunteer participant. We are in the process, in the very short future, of putting all of the pieces in place that would govern how the student would participate. Of course, we know just because on the legal side of it, it probably couldn't vote or cast a vote that would be accountable to the subject in itself. However, we'll have some mechanism for that individual to participate in a vote in a way that we would be able to recognize the youth's ideas about our city. And you know, one of the things about the city, you go around all over town, you see these signs, "We support our youth." I believe I can speak for the council and myself by saying that, you know, we need to put teeth into this. We really need to do something that lives up to that. And I think this is a great opportunity on the city's part to bring the youth in and let them see and know that they can be part of their city's growth and participate in how the city moves forward. I got a call from KBND yesterday and asked for comments on this because they saw it on the agenda. And they were totally surprised and excited that the city would step off and do this. So I think it's a great opportunity and we're going to move forward on this. Any Stu, you got anything else you want to say? Kathy?
No, I think it's okay.
Mr. Mayor, I just add some comments.
Yes.
And that is, we want to make sure that our youth are represented in this community and they have a voice, and that's the goal behind this effort.
Thank you very much. Lapine Code Enforcement is number 9 ordinance. Lapine Code Enforcement Ordinance is number 9. And we're going to table that until our January work session on the 23rd, and I'll entertain a motion to table the item.
I second that. I make a motion to table the item until the 23rd.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. And item number 10 is Newton's second task order, and it's about our water rights, and we'd like to have the city manager speak to that.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I put this on here, it's a little thing, but it's a big thing, and that is that we have, water is going to be a very important issue to this community, and we've done two things this year to make efforts to preserve and protect it. One is that as the sewer and the water district have transferred to the city as of July 1st, we entered into an agreement with Newton to perfect all the water rights and transfer processes, and this task order is just a part of that. The other thing we've done is that we've worked with the Oregon, the state of Oregon, with respect to their Water Resources Department, to assure that our water rights continue as part of this transfer process. There was some doubt about a third of our water and whether or not we would be able to perfect that, and so we entered into yet another agreement with another gentleman for that purpose. But the goal is to make sure that we have sufficient water in our city, and so that's why I brought this item forward for that purpose.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We also have a comment by the staff on the City Hall's frontage improvement. City Manager?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just more than anything, good news, and that is that ODOT, we applied for a grant to get some monies to fix up the frontage of our building. We have about 500 feet of the frontage along Highway 97. The state has agreed to give us up to $70,000 to enhance our frontage in terms of sidewalks, drainage, curbing, landscaping, so that we can start to make a good presentation for Highway 97. And also, this will serve as a template for other businesses. I know that as businesses develop and redevelop, the city's going to be encouraging them to enhance their frontages. And it's a lot easier to get compliance if the city is the one that does it first. And so that was one of the aims behind seeking this grant application, not to just make sure that our city hall is standing tall and that we make a good presentation to the folks that come here, but also as a sort of set the stage or the expectation of how we'd like to see our corridor develop. Because we want to be interesting, and we want people to come here and shop and invest, and we think this will help. And so I've attached some pictures that give an idea of what the template would look like. These are pictures that are from Madras. We were down in Madras this spring, and we saw a template down there that we thought would be a good starting point. So that's why that's on the item, on the agenda. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. I'd also like to have a few comments on the snow plowing strategy.
All right. Well, I've received any number of complaints about snow removal, and I've spent some time out looking at snow issues. And other than we have a significant amount of snow and it's a hard to find place for it, I found that we also have an issue with a lot of people that are parking their vehicles or their equipment in the swale area, and that's our snow storage area. So one of the things, and again, we're going to be talking about code enforcement all year and trying to inform people and get them to understand, but truly, you can't park your RVs, your trailers, your equipment in our snow storage areas, and if you do, then it makes it really difficult to plow that particular street, and then not only is it going to be difficult for people to traverse up and down, but we're going to get a lot of complaints here at the City Hall. So we're going to do what we can to first inform people about the need to have their vehicles off the streets during the winter months, and at some point come along with some enforcement strategies. And you'll find in your packet any number of pictures of people The other liability we have that's related is we do have in our codes now where the property owner, whether they're residential or they're commercial, is responsible for on their sidewalks in front of their business or in front of their residence. And we have a lot of non-compliance. Yet another issue that we'll be attending to as part of becoming a city and as part of our code enforcement processes. And I hope to take the whole year and start that information process so by next winter, this won't be an issue so much for people just park where they want or decide not to do plowing in front of their streets on their sidewalks. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Can I just add something to that? I live in Huntington Meadows, and when I come out of Finley View, they're near the Sugar Pine Cafe. They pile that snow up right there on the corner, and I know for the trucks and things, it's probably not an issue, but if you drive one of these small cars, as I do, you can't see the traffic coming north on there. It's impossible to see. So
what you're saying is they push the snow and they impede the vision triangle. Mm-hmm. So you can't see around it.
That's right.
Okay, this is just yet another component part of our education process. We've got an awful lot. For instance, just before I came into this meeting, I had Tom Weller call me and apparently admits at the corner down there by where he is, someone has put up a great big sign right at the corner that impedes traffic. And so I'll go have a conversation with them. But it's just part of becoming the city and part of having some orchestration is that you don't imperil people as they get to intersections by creating blind spots for them. And yet another issue we got a lot of them deal with. Fortunately, in the near future, we're going to have a code enforcement officer, and I think we'll be keeping that person real busy. Thanks, Mary.
Stu.
And it's, again, we have to start with education.
Education.
Yes. Don't.
No.
We're not going to start with just info, and I know you know that.
I know I know that.
Yes, you know that. We all know you know that.
No, but we are. We're not going to be heavy-handed, folks. We want to start out very gently, educating and informing people so that they know what the rules are. And I think, and also approach from a helping hand. And that is, if somebody has a code enforcement issue, is there a way that the city can help them with that? And then only if we're not getting any success to handy up whatever our responses are to the public.
And it's also, you know, a learning curve for some of our contractors who are plowing the snow, because I'm not sure, I haven't looked for sure at what we have budgeted for snow plowing, but in this last go around, I was at the intersection of Huntington and 97 when our fire district was trying to get to a call emergency lights and sirens, and you know, by that time everything had frozen. Well, we had berms and we had ruts, and the ambulance and the fire truck, you know, were delayed because of the road conditions. So when we do get a break, we're going to have to make sure, if we have to take money from somewhere else, that our plows are out there plowing when we have a meltdown, get ahead of the freezing, because it does become a major safety issue.
It does.
Right. And just so you know, we had this discussion yesterday. Our contracts that we have with our two independent contractors advise that if there's more than 4 inches of snow or something thereabouts, that at their determination, and both these folks have done this work for a lot of years here in the community, then they go out and plow. But then the issue came up, what if we get a great big, we've got a ton of snow and we have a big warm spell and we have monster slush, can we just go out and do it? And so I talked to Scott yesterday, and on a case-by-case basis, we're looking at places that are just real nasty, and we're going ahead and attending to them, even though we have this otherwise prescription of 4 inches, because that, you know, we just haven't addressed that. And so we just kind of made an in-house decision that that was important to do. So that's kind of where it stands. So we're taken care of, and if we hear about a complaint about something that's real impassable, then we're going to go out and take a look at it.
Anything else, Kevin? I'd like to add that and assure everyone that there's no reason to think that we won't, you know, make this as friendly and as a helping hand type of transition into code enforcement. And as we move through this and the abatements, we'll be having public hearings. So we need to get the public's buy-in. We need to get the education out there. And there's no better way than to have the public come to City Hall or to some other venue where everybody can ask questions and add comments. And that's what it's about, local government and being a small town. So, item 13, review of city's 2012-2013 goals and objectives.
Well, Mr. Mayor, this started out to just be an update, and that is to say that last year, as part of going through the budget process, we established 17 goals that we were going to pursue during the course of the year. And of course, our year is from July 1st, 2012 to June 30th, 2013. So right now we're at the 50% mark. And of our 17 goals, and we have copies, I can make copies for anyone that wants to. Of our 17 goals, 14 of them, we made significant progress on, much more so than I thought. Couldn't believe it as I started looking at what we've done with respect to each of these goals. We've done an awful lot at the halfway mark. I'm very proud of all the efforts by everybody in the city to help us with these goals. And we'll be sharing these with the public because we want them to know that the things that are most important here, which I believe our goals are, that we're doing the yeoman's job. All right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And item 14 is swearing in of the new mayor and new councilors. So the chambers will be at ease as we ease into this. So I'd like to, this evening we have County Commissioner Tony DeBone here to do the officiating for us. And what I'd like to do is maybe we'll start with the councilors and we'll do it down here in front of the dais so everybody can get some good pictures if they want to. And
so I got to partake in this a few times as a park district elected official, and now 2 years ago as a county commissioner. 2 days ago we were joined in the presiding judge's chambers for the sheriff, and Commissioner Unger just got sworn in for their positions. So this is the season of swearing in after the election cycle. So we're going to do that. Two councilors together. And I'm going to break this up, and hopefully it flows. You know, some of them, we'll see how it goes. Are we ready? So please raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Grace Jones.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
The laws and constitutions of the United States and the state of Oregon.
The laws and constitution of the United States and the state of Oregon.
Hey, we're getting it. And that I will do to the best of my ability.
I'll do the best of my ability.
Honestly and faithfully discharge the duties of city councilor.
Honestly and faithfully discharge the duties of city councilor.
For the city of Lapine during my continuance therein.
For the city of Lapine
during my continuance therein.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. Two, yes,
do we need to sign them now?
Or? Well, so this is for city recorder, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead and sign each of these. One, the nice one is your copy, and
so sign them just after here because it says city recorder at the line.
Then let's sign these here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now, yeah, I started to put a little bit of pencil marks on this one. There you go. Yep. So the name. That's good. Here we go.
Just change your name the first couple of times. I thought you were teasing me.
Yeah. She may have a queen.
That's those are for my records.
Okay. Keep going.
Good.
Yeah. Keep going.
Okay.
Well, these are four-year elected terms, so welcome. And you're continuing it.
Okay. Yeah.
9 January 2013.
13. All right.
Thank you very much, and congratulations.
There you go. Huh? Here, Lee.
Yeah.
We stand?
Sure.
Let's all get together.
There you go.
These devices.
Yes.
Look over here, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So probably a new source of income with your renting cameras on the way in.
Yes. There's an idea for the city coffers.
City income.
Okay.
We have one more position.
Yeah, and
he goes
we
up there
you can.
Now to sit.
Yeah, you can go up there and sit if you'd like.
Now this is for a 2 year. Is that how
this is
works?
A 2 year term. Yep, I'm on the downhill this time.
Okay. So here we go. Official oath of office, City of Lapine. Please raise your right hand. I, state your name.
I, Ken Mullinex.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
I do solemnly swear that I will support.
The laws and constitutions of the United States and the state of Oregon.
The laws and constitutions of the United States and the state of Oregon.
And that I will do to the best of my ability.
And I will do to the best of my ability.
Honestly and faithfully discharge the duties of mayor.
Honestly and faithfully. Discharge the duties as mayor.
Of the city of Lapine during my continuance therein.
Of the city of Lapine during my
continuance
therein.
That was it. Congratulations. One of them will be good sooner or later.
One more for the one more. Website.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Good. Okay.
It's official. Now there's four up there instead of three.
Yeah.
Well, they're all the gold.
I'm going to
wait. Do you want to sign that? And identify which ones you're in progress on.
Right. And so it shows what the gold was. Explanation for each one.
Okay, our new council.
I think we're trying to get a picture of the new council.
No, you're part of it, Stuart.
No. Stu's hiding.
Why don't you move over a seat, Stu?
There you go.
It's a little name tag.
All right, cheese. Good.
Fantastic Four.
Okay.
All right, one more time. This time you look at the camera.
Excuse me.
Oops, I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll get back to the agenda now, and item 15 is appointment of a city council, and I'd like to poll the councilors, starting with you, Kathy.
To me, there's no other choice but the Honorable Stu Martinez.
I agree.
There's two, three. The Honorable Stu Martinez, would you accept council president?
They're ganging up on this dude.
I'd be honored.
All right. Let the record reflect that our councilor Stu Martinez has accepted the position of council president. I'll just take a few more days off now.
See who's sitting closest to you.
Okay. A comment about appointment of a fifth city council member. You know, there's actually, we've got four councilors and a mayor, and we have currently advertised in the local papers. We have it on our website. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lori. I've got a bit of a cold and I can feel it coming up, so everybody stay back.
Yeah.
But we have advertised, one of the city's policies or practices, I guess I'll say, is that we get at least three individuals who have, will apply for the city council's position before we do any interviews. So we will have to be actively out there, and I ask the counselors to actively participate in friends, neighbors. The basic requirement is be registered to vote and live in the city. So.
And I believe you have to live in the city a year.
I understand that too. Thank you.
Okay.
So that's just the basic idea about how we'll move forward looking for fourth counselor. And at this time, we'd like to have a discussion of the city budget for the and acquiring auditor services.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll turn this over to Lori Martin, who is our city reporter and finance officer, and ask her for a budget update. Lori?
Okay. In your packet, you should see the summary for the month. It would be, I believe, right before your 5BIII.
In the front of the consent agenda? Or somewhere in
back
there?
After the minutes. Yeah. In the back of it?
After the minutes.
After that. If you don't have it, I've got it right here.
With the yellow highlights.
Right, I got it.
Okay. The reason for the highlight is because this is a little bit of a concern. Because of the allocation, we might need to modify personal services, which would require an amendment to the budget. And in order to rearrange this, it would be allocating some of the money that is under the Public Works budget fund for personal services, because we could move some of that up to the general fund. And it's a matter of allocation, really. We still have the money in the budget for personal services. It just needs rearranged. But I just want to bring that forward to you so that you're aware of that if we do need to move that around a little bit. Otherwise, we are in good shape. You can see that the city revenue is on target for the year. We're in the black, we're not in the red. And same with water and sewer, they're in good shape. So I have no comment as far as troubled funds. That's the report for this month.
Okay.
We will be delving into the line item, I believe, at a work session in the near coming future, if I'm not mistaken. And then one other item, this is just a verbal staff report basically. On our audit, we have completed the water and sewer audit. It's been signed off and the reports have been sent to the state. The city audit is in its final stage. We are waiting for it to be sent in and the final to be issued. They had to wait on one item that was missing, which had to do with our attorney and just it's just a disclosure, basically, making sure that there are no outstanding claims or anything. So we're in good shape, nothing came back, but that's what they were looking for. And then I believe we're retaining our present auditor for one more year. They will be doing the combination of all entities, that being the water, sewer, and city, as one combined unit this year at 6/30/13. And I believe that we did put in enough money to cover the audit fees for this coming year. So we're in good shape with that. After that, there could be some discussion about putting out an RFP for audit services for the 6/30/14 audit. Steve, did you have anything else that you want to add?
Just that we continue to modify the fund summary to make it a little bit more understandable. And you'll note that this month, we'll do this from now on, we have five funds. And so not only have we given you an assessment of where we are with respect to each line item in each fund, but you'll notice below each fund that we're going to have a little narrative. And under each of the funds, it says this time, this fund is solvent and staff sees no problems. And actually, if we could continue to have that statement, because that was a truism, that's what we're aiming for.
Okay. I would like to have some kind of explanation around why are we proceeding or looking at having to modify our personal services or modify the budget. What is contained in personal services that we are moving beyond our budgeting?
Laurie, would you answer that question?
Okay. In that, I can give you more detail in a synopsis of report. However, we do have wages contained in there for everyone here. So that would be Ashley, Steve, myself, Patty. And there's also Rick included in that first general fund. And I believe that if you look at it, we should be about halfway through. It's at 61.8%, and we're 50% through the year. So if you take the 62.8% and were to move 12.8 down below to the public works, then we would be okay. It's a matter of allocation of how the wages are split out. That is skewing this to 62.8. Does that make sense?
Well, let me say it another way.
Okay.
And that is, we have allocated for personal services in two different funds, and if you combine them, we would be right on track. But because we split them out, we have we don't have much money that we've expended in one and an overage in the other. And so the thought is, as we continue to craft our budget over time, there's no reason to have two different personal services. We'll just put them one category of personal service, and if we were to combine those monies, we'd be right on target. But because there's a state law that says if you're more than 10% off in a line item, then you have to amend your budget, that's why we would amend our budget. So the bottom line is, we really aren't over in our expenditure. It's just how we allocated the monies in two different funds, and we probably shouldn't have done that.
And what two funds are those?
The two funds, one is the general fund and the other is the public works fund. Okay.
And that's directly referring to personal services?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So personal services in one is?
Under, and the other is over.
Okay, right, but I'm saying, what does all of that personal services represent? And I mean, she said something about wages.
It's salary and wages.
And payroll taxes, health
payroll
insurance,
tax, right.
And retirement.
Right. It's everything that you get on your pay stub that reflects personal services.
Let's use Scott for mm-hmm. example. I mean, all of his wages and everything come out of the sewer and water, right? Basically. Mm-hmm. Basically.
Correct.
Okay. Is there some kind of connection between the fact that we paid some of that out of one personal services fund?
Yes, sir.
And we should have been paying it out of the other one?
Well, we're in transition in the year.
But basically, that's what that means. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
It's a hiccup that's due more in the transition than anything. But the point is that we pointed it out. We don't see it as a problem. We see it as, let's put it this way. We don't have to look around for the monies to make this right.
It's there.
Because we've got another account that has monies in it for the same purpose. We're just going to take those monies and glue them together, and we'll have sufficient monies. We won't be over at all in that budget at the end of the year, but in the interim, because we're over more than 10% in the one, we'll probably have to make for an amending process. But that is a pretty easy cure, the amending process.
So we're saying too then that the money, which one has the most in it? Is there a way to tell that?
General.
The general has the most money in it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you mean the most money as far as the budget?
Yeah. The one that's getting shortest, so we're going to have one's got more in it, one's got less.
The one that has more money in it is the public works fund, the one just below the general fund. The other one that's highlighted, that's got only 11.7%. Or we have like 20,000, 21,000 more in there that we aren't using.
Okay.
So that would need to be moved up to the general fund to cover the amount that we're over.
And in the future, this will go away.
Yeah, what we learned every month, and one of the reasons that we started putting out, and for the public's, just to let you know, what we try to do is show how much money is totally in the budget for the year. Then we have another category that says of that money, what percentage of the year is over with. And so, for instance, right now we're 50% of the way through the budget. And then we have another category that says of the money that you budgeted, what percentage have you spent? And what you want to see is some agreement between 50% of the year and 50% expenditure. And so we have a nice way now of showing where we are relative to 50%. So you can look at one and you can look at the other and say, oh, they pretty much agree, or no, one is skewed or one isn't. And so by having that, we're hoping that the council will be able to readily go through these things as time goes on and be able to spot it just as well as we do, where there's deficiencies either in terms of underage or overage. Okay.
Thank you. Any questions, council?
I understand. Did I hear just that one question? Lori, can you just tell me one more time on variance, how that term?
Okay, it's the difference between what we budgeted and what the total year-to-date is. So if you look at the first line, license and permit, which is revenue, we have not collected as much as we had anticipated from year-to-date. Because we haven't received all of our tax revenue yet. Okay, we've collected 94% of the taxes that we estimated. Whereas, let's see, let's pick on somebody else. Administration and operations. We anticipated $320,000 for the budget, and we have year-to-date spent about $129,000. So we have left to spend $191,000. It's right under the first yellow line, Kathy.
Okay.
See that? Mm-hmm. So does that help you with understanding?
I think it's the term. I just can't get a...
How about difference?
Okay.
That's better. That's a better
word. Yeah, that works.
Okay. You know, another way to look at it is if you take column C and you subtract column B from it, you should get column D.
Which is the difference.
Right.
Difference.
Which
is a better word.
D, difference.
Yeah, so C minus B equals D.
You want difference? We can change it difference and not have variance.
I like difference.
Okay, difference. Difference it is.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's great.
Any others?
Good, thank you.
Council?
Thank you, Lori.
Stu?
Well, I'm just looking at our check register, and I'm sorry that there's only, what is the asterisk for?
Wait a minute, let me find it.
You know, usually...
Because Ken's a star. I think that is in the... Actually, it's put in that way for the vendor. I don't know why it's that way, but I noticed that today when I made out a check. It's got an asterisk next to Ken Molinex's name.
He's targeted. I would be worried about
him. No, that's just a designate that I get more than you do.
I've never received a check from the city.
You never received a check.
I've never received a check from the city.
Well, is this just double?
You don't file for your expenses?
It's the same thing. It just got.
Oh, I know.
Okay. I'll come and see you by the loan.
I think that's the other way around. I just noticed that. I mean, you're going through all this, and it's like...
See here, it's on the check.
There's an asterisk on the check?
Yeah.
Is somebody tracking me and you're not telling me?
No.
Okay.
It's when the conversion came over, there must have been...
You're gonna get an answer for that, though, I'm sure.
Well, I'm just going to go in there and take it out. Or do you want more stars?
We need to proceed.
Yes.
We're at 18 and 19 right now, and what I want to do is I want to roll those both together. And that is the appointment of council members to community and government organizations. We have several committees that are important that the city be participants in. One is Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council, which is COIC. Then there's COAC, which is Central Oregon Area Commission on Transportation. And then there's the WikiUp Junction Steering Committee. Then there's the Small Cities Network. And then there's the Central Oregon Cities Organization. which is actually an organization that represents all the cities in Central Oregon, and actually has a legislative consultant that guides the city's likes and dislikes toward the legislature. So let me give you a list of currently, we'll start with COIC, and the primary was Don Greiner, and I was the alternate. And so I would like to become the primary for that.
Does all the councilors have a copy of?
Yeah, it's 18.
Yeah. And we need an alternate for that. You want to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay, great. And then we have COAC. Both of these two, COIC and COAC, are probably the two most important committees that we participate in because of their handling or their connection to money and what that can do for the city, because we don't have lots of money. So COAC is the Central Oregon Area Commission on Transportation. It's part of Region 4 of ODOT, and I've been the primary on that for the past 2 years. I'd like to remain there, and we need an alternate.
Well, I believe our discussion was, when you and I talked, was to give the new councilors a chance to get their feet wet. So that's why we're having this discussion. All the other committees will pretty well stay the same.
Yeah.
Okay. This was just for your benefit to get you involved in some of the committees if you'd like to. So.
I'll do the COAC, and she'll switch with me on the first one.
On COIC?
Yeah, okay. She wants to do COIC, so I'll do COAC.
Now, WICAMP Steering, WICAMP Junction Steering Committee, is that really an active committee now? I mean, it used to be, when they first started off dealing with WICAMP Junction, and doing the overpass and everything, we had a great deal of need to have participation in that. But that's a done plan now. It's sitting on the shelf waiting for money. And I don't think it's an active committee. So shall we just hold that off and wait, or shall we go ahead and put somebody on there and move down the road? Steve?
Would you would be notified when that something happens, correct?
That's correct.
Then I think once he's notified, then he could let us know, and then someone could get involved.
Okay.
Otherwise, I have.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to put a hold on there with the city managers.
And two, Friday. I was thinking, I haven't asked Greg, but you know, maybe for a couple of these or something, we could go together when they come up to just get more.
Great idea. Yeah. Small Cities Network. This is a sort of like a Central Oregon Cities organization. It is. It actually represents throughout the state, the states and regions, and those small towns in those regions really don't have the financial power and the connectivity that large cities have and large staff, and that's why that organization is placed, put in place. So we currently, we had Councilor Greiner, and I had been filling in as the secondary for Councilor Barco, and so
I'd be interested in that.
Okay. Kathy, you want to be alternate?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Stu, okay, Coco is next. I'm currently the primary on Coco, and I'd like to retain that position. And so we have an alternate now. Stu, you can't get out of this without taking one. There needs to be an alternate.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I just said there's still one left here, too.
Oh, okay.
Leggy.
Oh, Lee is actually was closed as an organization on the 3rd of January. So Lee is no longer a...
But it is hopefully reforming and
yeah.
Very different.
Name and focus and all of that. And we'll, when we get to that line, we'll bring it back to council. So I think we've done it. Okay, I have this written down, Patty, and I'll give it to you.
Okay.
And some of these we need to send letters out on. The COIC and the COAC require letters. Item 20 is Deschutes County use of Lapine Industrial Group funds for traffic facility improvements. We probably need to table that until we had planned on having our consultant Rick Allen here this evening to cover the next two items. However, he's unavailable, and we want to reschedule those to the work session on the 23rd. Therefore, I'd ask for a motion to table item 20 and 21 in their titles until our next work session.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Perhaps we could hear 20 and defer 21 because they're related, but they're separate, and we have a county commissioner here too. I think we're in a good position to talk about it.
Okay.
And then you can decide whether you want to continue it or not.
Council? Sound all right? Okay.
All right.
Then we will proceed into item 20 and get to the next one after that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What I have, and you have it in your packet, there is a letter that I've drafted up for your consideration, actually seeking your endorsement. And what it is that we have a real need in Lapine, and that is a traffic signal at 1st and Reed and 97. And ODOT has been trying to fill the funding gap for that project for some time, and they've come up with $700,000. But they're advising me that it could be, you know, some time before they actually have all the proceeds to move forward. But they also told me that they have another fund, and they might be able to advantage that fund to make up the difference if they could leverage a local match. And so I've had conversations with Chris Doty, who's the county road manager, and also with Tom Anderson, who is the interim city or county administrator, and also Gary Farnsworth, about the possibility of taking $200,000 of those proceeds that are available from the land sales proceeds associated with Liggy. Now Liggy is dissolved, and there's some money remaining. That money goes to the county. It's the county's money. The county decides how to spend it. The county is receptive to taking those proceeds and applying them as the match monies to help fill the funding gap so that we can move on with 1st and Reed and 97 and have it signalized And this letter would be a letter to the council, or to the, excuse me, to the county commission, endorsing that idea and asking them to give a consideration to it. All right, and then our Commissioner Bone is here, maybe would like to say something as well. Sir?
I would. So the agreement between Deschutes County and Lapine Industrial Group has been terminated. Effective date was the January 3rd, so it went out December 3rd with a 30-day notification. Funds have been transferred from Lapine Industrial Group back to the county treasurer, so the money that we're talking about is back at the county for this purpose. This would be a support letter that would come to the county commissioners, and the county would be the entity that would coordinate with the ODOT through the agreement through our road department to make this money flow. So this is just a support letter, but you know, I'm in favor of it, and you know, trying to coordinate with the city council by having a letter like this.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
So that's essentially what I'm asking, is whether the council is receptive to the use of the monies for that purpose, and truly, from a staff position, if First and Reed and 97, that signalization isn't our first priority, it's certainly our second. And anything we can do to facilitate the construction of that light at that intersection will do any number of things. It'll help traffic movement through our city. It'll make everyone that tries to negotiate that intersection a lot safer. And it will help the industrial in that we'll be able to get traffic in and out of the industrial park on Reed and First and 97 better. So it's, I just see it as a win-win.
Okay. Comments, council?
I would fully agree with Steve on that. Been to that intersection a couple times myself. I wish we had a light. That's going to be a huge help, especially when they develop, you know, the more of the businesses. Yeah. Trucks won't be able to get in and out of there without a light if they're going to be doing, you know, some kind of industrial business back in the industrial park. It's going to be a help for them.
Yes. Kathy?
I agree with that.
Yeah, what I think the...
I would ask you to authorize the mayor to sign this letter on behalf of this agency and send it forward to the commission.
Stu, do you have any comments on this?
Well, it's just...
Housekeeping.
Thank you. That sounds familiar. And it's, again, it's a safety issue. You know, we've been after this and we've been working with everyone, ODOT, the county, you know, the industrial group, Liggy, they've been excellent to work with. The city has been working on it from day one. And it just needs to be signed off by the mayor and sent on to the county.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to that the city develop a letter of support to be signed by the mayor in support of these funds that the county is proposing to add to the traffic signal program for First and Reed.
I move that we have allowed the mayor to sign this letter that's been drafted by the city manager.
I second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect it's unanimous. And item 20 is, I'll entertain a motion to table item 20.
21.
Excuse me. Formation of Lapine Economic Development Group, or LEDGE. And until our work session on the 23rd.
Yes.
Any motion for that?
Yes.
I move to
table. Moved.
I second it.
Seconded. To table this item 21. Yes. Any questions? None? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect it's unanimous. And we are barely past 7 o'clock.
Sweet.
And I'll go to other matters. Hearing none from the previous beginning, we'll open it to public comment. Hearing no public comments, we will move to staff reports. Any additional staff reports?
Mr. Mayor, I don't want to spoil our public by getting this out of here early, but I have nothing to add.
Are there any committee reports? I will make one committee report for COAG. I filled in for the city manager at the COAC STIP, which is State Transportation Initiation Program, or it's a new program where we participated in looking at a number of requests from around Region 4 for state transportation money to do any number of things. Lapine, and this is for the year 2015 and 2018, and that's what is called a STIP 2015-18. And Lapine has a request into that to do the sidewalks along First Street and along 97 on the west side, plus the multi-purpose pathway that goes from the edge of Crescent Creek down to basically by the parking lot.
And two pedestrian crosswalks.
And right, and there's some other pieces to it that'll improve our safety in the city. We actually, in the first pass that I attended, which is a collection of technical people, which almost left me out, but we scored very high because of the features and the uses that this application has. We have some meetings tomorrow, which will probably finalize the Region 4's. What they're doing is they're evaluating them and moving all of them into different positions from 1 through 14, something like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of requests for money, and there's not much money. So we are very pleased that the whole region said Lapine needs this more than most everybody else. So we'll have some more information as we go down the road, and that's part of the COAC participation that we're involved in. That's all I have. And with that, unless anybody else has anything.
Mr. Mayor, I think Kathy does here.
Kathy?
I may have missed my turn to talk, but may I say what I want to say anyway?
Council comments is up now.
Okay, good. The other day, I'm always on this emergency thing. I mean, it's primary concern for me, but I saw the ambulance at the stop coming off Huntington trying to turn south on 97, and cars just kept going. The siren was going, the lights are going, and nobody stopped. Finally, they got a chance and they pulled out, and the second one followed just, you know, maybe a minute later. Same thing happened. The cars just kept going. Nobody pulled over. Finally, one guy did. As soon as he passed Huntington, I think I should have stopped, and he pulled over and the ambulance got out. But I don't know, I complain about that a lot, but I think there's a lack of, I don't know what it is, it just infuriates me to see them sitting there with the sirens going and the horns going and the lights going, and we just keep driving by, letting them wait till we're ready to pull over. And I don't know if there needs to be something in the Eagle sometime, or I've seen it like probably 3 or 4 times I've complained about that. You know, I expect them, when they see that, the lights going, the sirens are going, you pull over. You know, you don't wait till you get where you want to be and then, oh, maybe you'll turn over. So that's a frustration that I deal with, and I don't know what to do about it.
My kind of lady. But when, because 5 years ago, I believe it was, when the idea of the intersection being lighted in the beginning came up, before I joined the council or when I was still with the fire district, when that light does go in, it will be, the reason they use this intersection is because it's easier to turn south. But when that light goes in, it will be equipped with the sensor, so they'll be able to control that light, so the traffic will have to stop.
Okay.
So, but that's another thing, when that light does go in, it won't just help the industrial park, it'll be a major improvement in our fire district's response time.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
And just to give you a perspective on that, the fire trucks will have a little strobe light, mm-hmm. and when they get down there, there'll be a little oscillator up here, and that strobe light will hit it and will immediately change the light to red for traffic this way, so that then they've got control over the whole intersection and can boogie whichever way they need to go.
That's good. Okay. Okay. I'll appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
If you wanted to draft a letter and sign it with the city council and the mayor about what we need to do, we'll publish it in the Eagle. Big. Okay?
Okay.
Procedures, whatever.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
And with that, any other council comments?
With all the swearing in and recognizing our past counselors, I want to know where the cake is.
Yeah. Donuts.
Wait, remember, I can answer that. I can answer that. You're going to like this.
Okay.
You may not taste it, but you're going to like it. We, you know, two important events for the city here. One is the fact that we're bringing on board the new council, and this is the first time that the city has sworn in a mayor that fills the position of mayor as outlined in the city charter. And that's an important event. And we had some discussions around City Hall the other day about the other important event is that we've got two individuals who have accumulated over 5 years of contribution to the city, and that's an important event. And we really didn't want to co-mingle the two because they both deserve their time in the sun. So at the next city council meeting on the 13th of February, we will have a cake. And we will take time, and we will do some presentations for those two individuals who have contributed so much to this council and to the city.
I knew that. You and I decided that.
I know that.
So I knew that. That didn't answer my question.
Where's the cake?
Yes.
Where's the cake? Oh, you mean our cake? I left that up to the city staff.
On behalf of the city staff, I made a resolution this year on behalf of all of us to be much healthier.
Yeah. Okay, that's why. So carrots and celery. Yeah.
Okay.
That works.
There's a motion to adjourn.
I second. I motionally adjourn.
No, it's only
seconded.
Okay. Motionally adjourn.
Motion and motionally moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much to all for coming.
Beautiful time, Mr. Mayor.
I got so it's a beautiful night.